Hello, my name is Yves Peters. This is Type Radio from New York. Now we're talking. And I want to say this because people might think that it could border on bribery because I review typefaces and then maybe afterwards I get them. This is not a set system. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people say afterwards, after the review is written, so, all right, keep it on your hard drive. Mm-hmm. And if you ever want to use it, I mean, I've got some stuff there from Alejandro Paul and from Brian Jaramillo. So even if you want to use it on a small commercial job, you can still have it. So we get very definite agreements. I save the emails and stuff like that for once. I have paperwork. So that's pretty cool. And
well, it's quite handy being a graphic designer also. I mean, then you have...
Yeah,
sort of an extended.
I've had this discussion often with Stefan. He's going to come back quite often because I got to know him really well, and Peter Brun as well, and we discuss a lot about type issues, and they have this theory that with designers they trust, and all right, these are trustworthy. We can like provide them with reviews with licenses up front. And if they're ever going to use it professionally, we trust them that they will purchase a license. And for me, that's an extra incentive. Actually, that kind of trust like pushes you to be trustworthy. And I think that might be a solution to some of the problems that exist today in licensing of type. That if you get good relationships with certain designers and then back to certain type foundries, that you can build up this kind of stuff where you get stuff up front. And when you use it, then you buy the license. And it's a whole process of giving and taking. And everybody benefits from it. Because actually, I've licensed more type in the last 2 years since I started the reviews and stuff than before. Because before I had a limited set which covered all my needs. I always saw these typefaces on, they were released and I liked them a lot. But sometimes at my daytime job they license the faces. But of course I'm not allowed to like take them home and use them for my own project. The only times I take them home is to work, which didn't get finished during the daytime. But for my own jobs, it's not often that I get paid that much. I try to do stuff for the cultural people and stuff like that. I don't have big budget or anything. Yeah. So I didn't license that much type, but just once in a while I bought a new family and then I tried to use it as often as possible. But now I've been spending more and more money on type just because people like provide me with the opportunity to test it out first and to see, hey, it works. And I say, oh, what the hell, I'll just purchase a license. So there's a dynamic that's really interesting and yeah, I like it a lot, the system.
You're a drummer?
Yes.
And in a way, the way you speak, I can tell you are a drummer.
Yes.
It's sort of syncopated way of telling stories. What do you think the relationship between design and music is in your personal case? Do you need to be drumming to do the design and the other way around?
I think the way it infuses my design process is that I work very mathematically. And I sometimes envy people that can go on and design stuff really intuitively. I use grids on, but they're extensions of the classic modernist grid. And what I do is I calculate a lot. So for example, I started out working on a 12 point baseline grid, and that was kind of my religion at the time. I used a 12-point baseline grid because I could extrapolate other baseline and leading from there. So just like you have a 4-4 beat or a 3-4 beat or 6-8, then you subdivide and you get new rhythms that overlap or that coincide with the basic thing. That's the same thing what I do, because also I design from type up. So everything gets directed from the type size and the leading and everything. So I have this basic rhythmical structure along the page. So let's say a 12-point grid, and I do it times 6 is 72-point, and then 144, and then 1.5. And that's the way I build up my pages.
Is it also the case, like, if you're like in a sort of a 12-point system, you end up like putting a headline in 23 points, and you say you're just trying to make it 24 you're like that.
But I found ways to avoid that because I want to have a logic, but I learned not to get controlled by that logic, so I adapt the logic. So for example, even if I'm working on 12-point grid, I might decide that all my headlines need to be multiples of 11 or 13 or 14. But I can't just have a title in 12-point and then 18-point and then 23. Then it has to be either 21 because it's a multiple of 3 or 24 because it's a multiple of 6 or 12. So there is something really anal about it, really like obsessive. But that's also who I am. I'm a bit compulsive obsessive. People tell my wife she's a really brave woman to be able to live with me because everything has to be like thought out and put in the proper way. And sometimes people get annoyed by it. And I say that, listen, this just helps me to sleep well at night. So leave it. And it's also in my work. And some might think it's a disadvantage because you get ruled by your measurements and by your systems. But on the other hand, it makes you work very consciously and like take note of all the details. And even on my worst day, my work will be like finished in the details. There won't be like double spaces, mispunctuation, lines in two columns that don't align. So I trust that it will help me to get a minimum of quality, even if at some moments it's not as inspired as I'd like it to be. So,
but for example, I mean, you're a graphic designer. You review type. Have you then? Do you consider to then design type yourself?
People have asked that to me quite a few times, and I must say, my preferred response to that is I know too much. And it's scaring the shit out of me. Because I know too much about type. I know how many glyphs you have to design for just one weight. I know how many curling pairs you need to have a properly spaced. That's why I'm in awe. Like,
and also knowing how many fonts there already are.
I should have been here on time, but my wife called me on the phone at a hotel. But I want to have seen the first presentation because at the end, I don't know who spoke the first presentation. I didn't catch his name. I should check.
Trollback. Type in motion. Yeah.
Yeah. And in the end, he said something really, really stupid about Helvetica and Bach, and I was planning to shout out and say, "How can you sit in front of a room of people that love type, of people that make a living out of creating new type, and just profess that your basic need is just Helvetica, which was designed 30 years ago, and that it fulfills like 80% of your needs. And that's total and utter crap." But because I was late, I didn't feel I can't just barge
but now
in.
You're on
at
the radio.
I'm on the radio. Yeah, no, but that's true. And I get into these discussions each and every time. I had one of my reviews, I don't remember, I think it was Peter Bielak's Fedra headline one, which turned into a rant, and I took it up afterwards because I got reactions, and there are certain people that just don't get it. They profess use the minimum number of typefaces, but that's just what Eric explained on the first night. I mean, there's 15,000 fonts, and I only use 50, but my 50 are different from the other 50. And why limit yourself to one? And it's even not, people go on about the beauty of Helvetica, but it's not even, there's stuff that's really weird. The bowl of the A and the leg of the R, it's like this full of like thing that don't jive. If you want to use a classic grotesque, use something else, but not Helvetica. They just go on about it, like this is
Is this specifically Helvetica or like any?
No, any. No, my rant also went against the Bodonis and Futuras and everything, because as I see it, these are like people who profess that because there are people that say, all right, the Beatles did definitive pop music in the 60s.
Coming after
so
like
anything coming after is just like copycatting. But it's just an evolving world, and today's music is so inspiring because it's got all these crossovers and cross-pollinations. I've got new interpretations of old models, and you see new stuff coming out, and also because the technology is better these days, the way that digital type is designed and works in now with the open type and stuff. Why stick to these old things when you get stuff that outperforms it like completely and it's more interesting and you get new voices for saying the same things? I mean, you had Futura, but what if you use the Neutrophase? And people can go, all right, but the Futura is like a German model and Neutrophase is like an American model. But you have other options and you still... You can find for any design solution, you can find new type that works just as well. And by doing that, also, you support living type designers.
Can I ask you, though, for example, I mean, you write about, you review fonts. Are you very honest? I mean, if somebody sends you...
Yeah, and that...